Basic Bananas.
Hi, and welcome back to Basic Bananas Radio. Today, I've got a very amazing guest on the other line who is going to share a little bit her insights and knowledge into how you can hire the best talent into your team, and also how you can really get the most out of your team that you already have. And my expert today is Simone Guild from Potentiate. Hi, Simone.
Hi, Francisca. How are you?
I'm excellent, especially now that I'm talking to you, and I can't wait to hear your knowledge. You did a session actually with us here at Basic Bananas with our Genius Bunch members a few weeks ago, and everyone loved it.
Yeah, it was awesome. They're a great bunch of people. It was really good to hear about their businesses too.
Yeah, no, they are awesome, and they walked away with so much knowledge and so many practical tips from you. And so I thought, well, we might as well share a little bit of Simone with our listeners of Basic Bananas Radio. So maybe to get started, could you just tell us a little bit about your, you know, how you came about doing what you're doing right now?
Yeah, sure. I grew up in a little country town in Victoria, and the only job that was available there was in a bank. And so I got into HR by accident because I wanted to move to a bigger town. And the only job that was available then was in HR. So that's how I got into it. But I was working with ANZ at the time, and I got transferred to Melbourne. And part of what I did was run an assessment centre process for a number of people whose jobs were no longer available and they had to be interviewed for new roles. So I did back-to-back interviews for 8 hours a day for 8 weeks straight. So I know a lot about recruitment, and I've worked in some big corporate gigs and done a lot in HR and really helping people to identify the right talent for their business and then get the most out of those people when they get them on board.
Yeah.
I've also been a judge on the Telstra Business Woman of the Year Awards as well, so did some different kinds of interviews there.
Mm. Awesome. Well, let's get straight into it then, because obviously we know your background is incredible. I've seen you live working with people, and I know that you know what you're doing. So let's just start with a very easy question. How do you find the right people for your team?
It's an easy question. It's not always easy in people's experience.
But, I'm being sarcastic. I'm being completely sarcastic.
I've got some tips to help people out with that. And I think the first thing they need to do is get really clear about what they want. So I work with clients to do what I call a success profile process, which we did an example of in the Genius group. And it's really getting clear about not just the knowledge and experience and skills of a person, but the fit of them for the job and for your business. Because in my experience, and this is what I hear every day from business owners, is, you know, they can't get people that really have the right type of characteristics that they need for their business. And that ends up being why they have to let people go or why they just don't work out. So working with people to get really clear on that is very important. And I generally ask them three questions which they need to think about. The first one is, what are the outcomes they really want the person to deliver? It's really important to be clear on that. What are the challenges that they think they're going to face? And also, what are the key decisions that they're going to need to make? And so from those three questions, I can really build a profile for them for the right type of person with the right background and experience that they need on board. And that's how you hire an A player versus someone who just says they can do things. So that's the first step, getting really clear on what you want. The second step is knowing how to write a great ad and tell a story about the job, because people don't really want to know a lot about your business, particularly in smaller businesses. They want to know what they're going to be doing on a day-to-day basis. So big corporations have, you know, quite strong employment brands in a lot of cases. So people get attracted to the brand. But when you're running a smaller business, you've really got to attract them to the job. So telling a story about what they're doing and really capturing the motivators in a tagline, similarly as to how you would, you know, with your marketing for a customer. The thing is that that this is exactly the same process. So your customer avatar essentially becomes your profile for success for the person, and the way you advertise is very similar as well. So that's the second step. And the third step is really being able to understand how to ask the right questions at an interview and how to position that properly. And a lot of people say to me, you know, they said they could do it at the interview, and when I got them on board, they really didn't come up to speed well, or they didn't really deliver what they said they could do. And my response to that is, of course they said they could do it at the interview because they want the job. It's really up to you as the person recruiting to be able to ask the right questions so you know how to sort the ones who can from the ones who are just trying to bluff their way through. And there's a particular interview technique that can be used to really help get clear on that. And it's called behavioral interviewing. And I'll give you an example of a question. So say, for example, you're recruiting someone, you're wanting to recruit someone who has really strong customer focus. So you might ask a question like, tell me about a time where you've gone above and beyond to satisfy a customer. And what you're really looking for as a business owner in answer to that question is three things: a bit about the background, so what was the situation that they were in or what was the task that they were doing, what did they specifically do, and what was the outcome. And unless you've got those three components, you don't really have strong evidence of whether somebody can do something or not. And you have to drill down. Like, a lot of times people use the terminology, well, what we did. And when you get faced with a what we did response, you really need to ask another question like, I'm really interested to hear what you specifically did in that situation. So you're drilling down to the actions that that person took rather than perhaps what a team of people might have taken. So probing questions to get information about the background, about what they did, and about what the outcome was is really important.
Love it. I love it. And I'm going to ask you more on this actually, because this is so important. And most business owners don't know about these techniques. And you know, I do believe, obviously, having the right fit into your team, also cultural fit, is everything. And spending a little bit of extra time finding that right person is so important. You know, I've definitely made mistakes in the past where I just really needed a team member to help my team and then just rushed into something. And actually right now we are hiring someone. We're hiring an assistant, basically an executive assistant, personal assistant. And we've already done a round of interviews, and there's not really one person that we are completely in love with, if you know, you can't use those terms, but here I guess I can. And so now, rather than just rushing into something, we said, hey, let's just take a little bit longer to find the right person. Now, I'd love to ask a few things actually, but the first one, just backtracking, is the job ad. I totally agree about the job ad needs to be enticing, needs to be good, you need to think about it, you need to not just, you know, put anything up there in 3 seconds, just whatever it is, you need to make it good. Now, what do you think makes a good job ad, and what are the components that you would recommend to go in there?
Yeah, absolutely. It's really important, like with any ad copy, because you're really targeting the person you want to get as an outcome. And it doesn't matter if you don't get hundreds of applicants, you really don't want that as an outcome. What you want is the right applicants. So I think one of the things you need to think about is a tagline that really captures the motivators of a person. So what drives personal satisfaction in your actual environment? So, for example, I was doing some work with a plumbing business in Melbourne, and they work on a very iconic Melbourne building, which holds a lot of status. And so one of the things I suggested to them is they use that status symbol in their tagline to really attract people, because that's a really big motivator for someone who wants to work on a big project. So it's like finding out what are the great things about working in your business. And if you get stuck with that, just ask your existing team, what do you love about working here? What is the most important thing to you in this job? And what, you know, what gets you out of bed to come here every day? That's really important that you hone in on what those motivators might be for someone. So if it's a customer service role, you need to tell a story around customer service. And in terms of how you position it, it's not just writing down the requirements of what you need in the job. So you might say, use your X skills, whatever it might be, to do this. So you're not just saying, I need someone who's proficient in using Microsoft Word, Excel, PowerPoint. You're saying, use your Microsoft Office skills to create amazing stories for our customers. So if you're in a writing business or if you're in a marketing business, use your skills to whatever the outcome might be. So you're telling more of what the delivery is going to be, and you're talking more about what they are going to be doing rather than what they have to bring to the table. There's some tips about how to position things.
I love it. Yeah,
it's really important to tell those stories. I think if you think about the most profound speakers you've heard, there have been people who've told you a story and connect with some emotion, and it adds the same.
Yeah, I love it, especially the two main tips here are having a bit of a tagline. So what's something that they would pay attention to? And almost being a little bit specific, so a bit of specificity, because I remember ages ago I was hiring a team member who was basically doing a lot of our admin work, but also in the ad we were talking a lot about events, and so of course we got a lot of events managers that applied for the job, but they were completely not the right fit because it's a different personality to admin to over events. And so being specific in the job ad I think is really good. And then I love how you also say writing down the doing, so what they are going to be doing rather than just what you want them to bring to the table.
Yes.
I think that's so cool.
Yeah, everyone wants to know what they're going to be doing.
Yeah.
You know, they don't want it to be a surprise. And I think, you know, also talking about the type of person that you really want. So getting the fit elements in that ad is really important as well. So, you know, I've just done another one for a plumbing client here in Brisbane. And, you know, in their ad we actually talked about, you know, using the use of IT systems to make it easy for their day. So they have a very automated way to do invoices and receive payments. They do that via iPad. So we wanted to put that in there so that we were attracting people that weren't scared of using IT systems, but we were telling them how it was going to make their day easy.
Yeah, fantastic. Yeah,
just little things like that.
Yeah, so when you say type of person, that's really, you know, like stuff like the knowledge that they have, because obviously we can't discriminate and say we want a woman aged between 30 and 50.
Yes. That's right, yeah. So no. someone who has, experience, you know, who really cares about what they do, who can actually deal with customers and love it every day.
Yeah, love it. Now, the other question that I had is around questions, because when you shortlist people and you invite them to come in for an interview, the questions that you ask are obviously very important.
Yes.
What are some questions that, besides, you've mentioned one of them, which is a behavioral question. So tell me about a time when, blah. What are some other questions that you think people should ask that they might not realize that those are really good questions to ask in an interview?
Yeah. What I always try to do is ask a positive one and ask a negative one. So let's go back to that customer service one, for example. So what I would do is ask another question around, tell me about a customer situation you've been involved with which went really wrong. And what you're looking for there is for someone not to cover up a situation like that, but we all make mistakes, everyone does, but what did they do to make that situation better, and what did they learn from that to put in place to make sure it didn't ever happen again? So you ask a positive one and then you ask a negative one. Another one could be, you know, tell me about the worst decision you've ever made. Why was it bad? And if you had your time over again, what would you consider to be different? What would you choose differently? Where you're getting both the positive and the negative. So they're really important from the behavioral question side of things. And the other really strong component is around fit. And one of the things I like to ask anyone that I recruit and have in the past is, tell me what you loved most about your current job and tell me what you loved least, because you get insights then into what people really like doing and then what they don't want to do. And you can then weigh that up against the availability that you've got in your job for the types of things that they love versus the types of things that they don't like.
I love that.
Another good question about how people work with people is, tell me about the best boss that you've worked for.
I'm going to use that one. Why were they the best?
Yeah. Why were they the best? And so you find out how somebody likes to be managed mm-hmm. from that kind of question. And again, tell me about the worst boss that you had. Why were they the worst? You know, what stands out in your mind? Mm-hmm. So they're really good to get an insight into the person. And the other thing is, when you're asking those behavioral questions, if you've had a situation where somebody's had a negative experience or they've had a really positive experience, you just ask, so how'd you feel about that? Mm-hmm. And that gets you more insight into the fit of somebody. Mm-hmm. So if there's something that's really critical to your business, say they got frustrated by a customer, you know, how'd you feel about that? And if they start to talk about how customers are a pain in the backside and you really need someone with a strong customer focus, you've got some warning signs kind of coming through there already.
Mm-hmm. Love it. I love it. And you know what? I'm taking notes here like crazy, so that's why I got a little bit quiet, because I actually have an interview with someone for one of our positions in half an hour, and I'm definitely going to use some of these questions that I have never used before, which is the tell me about the best and worst boss, because I think it's definitely good to see how they want to be looked after, because then we can see if that fits with how we like to do things.
Absolutely.
Here. Yeah. And I also like the one worst decision. You know, what's the worst decision and what would you do differently? What would you actually listen out for in that question? So if you ask, hey, what's the worst decision you've ever made? What have you learned? What sort of things do you pay attention to?
Okay, so when making that decision, what I would like them to be able to get some insight into or have some self-awareness around is maybe they didn't gather enough information before they made the decision, or maybe they listened to some information over and you're kind of judging what their judgment was in that situation. And then you're also trying to find out the insight that they had into what they did wrong, and you want another example of how they've changed that mm-hmm. and how they've learnt from that experience to make sure that they don't do it again.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Now, if the example that comes back is really one that, you know, someone's used really poor judgment on, you might want to steer clear of them. So that's really important to think about how developable some things are. And decision-making, for one, isn't easy to develop. So if you're recruiting someone for good problem-solving and good decision-making skills, if they continue to make, you know, poor decisions, you don't want that in your business, and especially if they haven't learned from it.
Yeah, I love it. Awesome. This is awesome. Now, the last question that I have, and then I will let you go, but this is, I'm actually taking lots of notes here for myself. The last question I have is references. Mm-hmm. Checking references is important, but there are obviously different ways of doing it. What's your best practice around checking references?
Okay, well, the purpose of a reference check is really to validate the information that you have. So you're wanting to verify everything that's on somebody's resume. You're wanting to verify that they worked for a certain business for a certain period of time. You want to speak to the boss because you want someone who's had insight into how that person's operated on a day-to-day basis. So if they can't give you a direct supervisor as a referee, then you're in dangerous territory. So they're the things you kind of need up front, and at least two reference checks. I would still use a behavioural interview technique with a referee. So you need to frame it up with the referee, book some time in about 20 minutes with them, say, you know, they should have been prepped by the person that you've interviewed anyway. But you might also have still some question marks over the examples that somebody gave you in an interview. So it's really good to take note of that and then verify some of those things with somebody's boss. So, for example, say if they've made a mistake with a customer, you could talk about, well, when Jenny was in the interview, she talked about this situation where things didn't go to plan with a customer. Do you recall that? And, you know, what's your experience of that situation? And can you walk me through it? So you're wanting to kind of validate what somebody said. It's really important to listen out for the tonality of voice when you're doing a reference check and when you're interviewing people. People tend to not tell the truth when their voice goes up. So if you ask a question like, you know, tell me about a time when Jenny actually planned her day really well, and someone says, yeah, she does that all the time, that is a warning sign. So
maybe they just talk that way. You know, some people talk a certain way. That is really interesting. I love it.
It is. And quite often people, their voice will raise up at the end of a sentence when they're, you know, they're not necessarily being authentic and congruent with what they believe. So that's a warning sign for you to ask another question. So the vague response you got back was, yeah, they do that all the time. Well, can you tell me or walk me through a day which you thought she did a particularly good job, or can you give me an example of a time where you thought she planned really well for something? So, again, you're getting down into the detail with the referees too. And I think it's also important to ask them, you know, as Jenny's manager, how did you get the best out of her? And where would you say she needs to develop? And a lot of times referees aren't really keen on sharing people's weaknesses. And I think that's how you build rapport with them in that discussion, where you just say something like, look, we all make mistakes. I'm interested in finding out, you know, what are the kinds of mistakes that Jenny's made on the job and what she's done about it. So can you talk me through one of those?
Mm-hmm. Great. Awesome. This is so fantastic, Simone. I'm so glad I asked you to be on the show. I'm sure our listeners are also taking notes like crazy, unless they're running or driving or doing something else where they can't take notes. But I would love to share with our audience also where they can find out more about you, and maybe you have more resources or blog posts or anything else that is supportive of getting the right team members into your team and getting the most out of them.
Yeah, absolutely. So my website's called potentiate.com, and that's spelled P-O-T-E-N-T-C-H-I and the number 8.com. And I've got one blog post there which every business owner should read, which is The Cost of Hiring a Dud, which is a true case study of where someone who was recruited for 3 months on a salary of $50,000 ended up costing that business 1.5 years' salary. And there was also a $360,000 work cover claim. So it just steps through the true costs of what can occur if you don't get the right person in your business. So I was really pleased, Francisco, when you said you're holding off, because if you don't hold off, that's when the real impact can be, you know, seen. If you bring someone in who's not the right fit or doesn't quite, you know, have the stuff that you're looking for, and we've all made those mistakes. I've made them myself. It's you know, it's always a big regret at the end. So I've also got a downloadable on my homepage as well, which is about business owners scaling for growth and the 5 mistakes that they generally make. So there's some really good information in there as well. And if anyone wanted to give me a call and just talk about anything that they wanted to talk about around their recruitment, I'd be very happy to have a chat with them as well.
Excellent. Awesome. Thanks so much. Thanks again for taking the time out, Simone, and for sharing your knowledge here. I appreciate it. We will post the links also in the show notes so people can come and check you out. And as always, the listeners, thanks for being here. If you would love to leave us a review or say hi or ask any questions, you can do that by emailing us to info@basicbananas.com, or the review if you want to say something, maybe something super amazing about us, you can do that on iTunes also. So thanks again for listening. Thank you, Simone. And
thanks, Francisco. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye, everyone.
Basic Bananas.